Hello, it's Matty, and welcome to episode 2 of the Road to Change podcast, the 10,000 mile walk to stop the silence and stop child sexual abuse. This week we are in
Budapest.
And with me as always is Stiggle MacGyver.
Stiggle MacClamp.
Clampo McFine. And this week, because we're in the city, we have Mandy Bobbs, Manda Stewart-Thompson.
Hello.
Mandy is the Road to Change project manager, and she's been in Budapest now, what, 2 weeks?
About that, yeah, just over 2 weeks.
Awesome. And we actually shouldn't be here yet because we're scheduled to be still walking, but as luck would have it, it's actually sunny and gorgeous outside, so we'd kind of planned expecting snow, but there was none.
Yeah, it's the first month, first sun we've seen in 2 months, so it's awesome.
There's actually a bee in the van this week, so yeah, so we can't complain. It meant that we just cracked on and we're here 5 days early. So the real events kick off on Monday. What we got happening, Mandy Bob?
We've got a meeting with a woman in the police department here in Budapest. Mm-hmm. She's going to tell us a bit about child protection policy and their procedure, how that works here, and give us some contacts. And then in the afternoon, we're meeting with an NGO.
Cool.
And in the evening, we've got a press interview.
Oh, that's awesome. I've also been given a contact here by the MP in Bratislava who helped us make some progress there with the statute of limitations, and he's put us in touch with a kind of similar type of MP here in Hungary, so hopefully meeting him next weekend, trying to just create some change. But yeah.
We've been invited to a conference on Friday as well that you've been asked to speak at.
Oh, this is the first time I'm hearing this. This is good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, maybe you should have told you about that one.
Cool. And and the British ambassador here seems extremely busy, but we're hoping to just get a photo with him. And it's the embassy have been supporting us. It's lovely when the ambassadors walk with me because that kind of brings out the press, and it's all about the awareness. But yeah, there's been a number of times when I've just kind of walked with the deputy ambassador, or you know, we just really appreciate their support. We can't say officially the British embassy support Road to Change, but individually every embassy has helped us. So. Yeah, bless them.
To some extent. Depends what they've got on. But they've been great. Very helpful.
It depends on the size of the country and the size of the embassy and obviously what's going on in the country when we arrive. And like when I was in Berlin, it was in the middle of an election, so they were a bit mentally busy. But yeah, but bless them. We love their support. And yeah. So last week we interviewed Stiggle, just so you guys could get an idea of the team out here. I figured it would just be cool this week to introduce Mandy Bobbs, and pretty much the same we interview. I think it started with, who are you and where are you from?
Well, my name is Amanda Stewart-Thompson. Originally I'm from Edinburgh, but I've lived in Glasgow for the last couple of years now, just up until leaving for the Road to Change.
Because we're technically nomadic at the moment, we don't live anywhere.
Yeah.
So how did you first find out or get involved with Road to Change?
Well, that would have been back in October 2012, was it? Yeah, the premiere of To Kill a Kelpie, which was the film that Matty wrote and acted in.
So you went to see the film in Glasgow?
Yeah, the CCA. Mm-hmm. Loved the film, was very moved by it. You weren't actually there, you were in New York at the time.
Yeah, I was hiding in a bathtub under a mattress because I was basically in the middle of Hurricane Sandy.
Found you on Facebook, sent you a message and asked if I could interview you, not just about the film, but was also looking for some advice and pointers on doing volunteer work.
Because you're also, I mean, you're like a filmmaker.
Well, yeah, I'm a freelance video editor and camera operator.
Mm-hmm. So I remember like when we first spoke and I started to tell you about Road to Change, I mean, it was like 2 years preparation for the project. And so like a year ago, you got in touch with me, and I think the first thing I said, well, what are your skill set? And you said, you know, told me about the editing, and at that point I needed a little promotional video. So I think that's where we started.
Yeah, I did the promo for the website. And then throughout the time making that, you asked if I wanted to come on board as the driver.
Is that when that happened? Yeah, because originally, like, my friend Scotty in Canada, hi Scott if you're listening, he and I came up with the idea way back 2 years ago when I was sitting in London, and he was going to be the follow driver, but then as we got closer and closer and absolutely no company was coming on board to support it, I think it looked less and less feasible that he could come over from Canada for 2 years to be the driver. So at that point we had no prospective driver.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't even have a driver's license at that point.
Do you have one now?
Yes.
Yes.
Finally.
She got it, yeah.
So, 5 months after you left or something ridiculous like that, I finally got my driver's license.
And that sounds like really terrible planning for us, like we're relying on a driver who didn't have a driving license. But if you can imagine, like, I was determined to do this, and you know, one way or another it was going to fall into place. So you started your lessons, I think, back in March. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd been learning for a while. I was due to take my test around about the time you left, but yeah, it took a bit longer than I thought. But it all worked out for the best in the end, because the delay in me getting out here meant that we got Stiggo.
Yeah. Stiggo, yeah.
El Stiggo Grand.
Could you imagine Stiggo? I mean, I can't imagine not being part of this project.
No, I can't either. I mean, I would have been back home in Sweden, depressed. So, I mean, it all turned out for the better.
So, Mandy Bob, you became the kind of project manager. So you and I worked in the office, and a wonderful company in Glasgow called Fleet Alliance donated an office for me for free, which was awesome. We had 3 months, I think, in their office.
Yeah, I mean, the whole time you were away on the road, I was working from that office, still setting things up from the UK, phoning the embassies and press and whatnot, but it was quite difficult communication over such a long distance. So yeah, it's much more, it's a lot better me being on the road and with you, seeing them.
So what is your, what do you do?
Well, primarily I take care of the press and communication side of things, set up meetings with NGOs, policymakers, MPs, contact the press, see if they want to do an interview, and then with the little time I've got left, do a bit of filming and photography, documenting everything as we go.
So Mandy doesn't sit down very much at all. She goes ahead to the city that I'm walking to and goes straight to the embassy. And normally the press officer helps us kind of set up stuff. So by the time I actually arrive, there's a kind of itinerary of events, which is awesome. But it's just been different this time because I arrived 5 days early. What do you think has been your... Oh, no. See, we're next to a kind of church. So there's a... Well, that's going to go on for 2 minutes, but you can just put up with it.
Maybe we should wait until it stops. It's Budapest.
And we're back.
Yeah,
so as you can see, we are definitely in Eastern Europe with these random bells going off all the time. So what were we chatting about there, Mandy Bob? You were talking about being here. Oh yeah, I was going to ask you, what has been your favourite experience on the walk so far?
I would say either going into the kids' homes and actually seeing the kids and working with the kids. They're just so cute. You know, every country we go to, they all speak a different language. So they sit and chat away to you in gobbledygook. That's just a nice breath of fresh air, really. It breaks up all the political and emails and phone calls.
It kind of reminds us why we're here.
Yeah, that's always nice and lighthearted. Or the couch surfing.
Couchsurfing.
Yeah, I've enjoyed that. Obviously, because we've got a very limited budget, we don't have hotel sponsorship, and we try and save money every way we can. So couchsurfing is actually a really good way to travel. It's a website, basically. You set up an account and you can surf or host, and there's people all over the world who are willing just to let strangers come into their house and sleep in their spare room or on their sofa during their travels. So that's how I've been getting from A to B ahead of you guys. And I've met some really lovely people. Honestly, I was a bit apprehensive at first, you know, being by myself. And normally I tried to stay with girls just to be safe. But, you know, the majority of the people on the planet are lovely.
Yeah, I'm finding that. But yeah. What about you, Stiggo? Like I remember when we were in the kids home in Lithuania, there was a little guy kind of just took to Stiggo. He looked like a mini.
Yeah,
remember that? He was like a mini you.
Cute, yeah. But, I mean, it's lovely to see the kids, but it's still quite hard, just because they're still in an orphanage, and it's not the best orphanage in the world, so...
Yeah, I mean, like, all the ones that we visited have been... The staff are so lovely and so compassionate.
Yeah, the staff are great.
And, like, I think the orphanage... We can't say orphanage, the child residential care home that we visited in Lithuania, they didn't... They were, I think they're funded by the government. They don't have enough money even to feed the kids... perhaps enough you know. And again, like the ones we visited in the Czech Republic, I think we went to like 7. And I remember the director saying, like, you know, we have enough money to feed the kids, but we don't have enough money to pay the staff.
Yeah, I think they were late for two months behind
their wages. But, you know, it's just, I haven't really met anyone on this journey who works in child protection who has enough money to do everything they're hoping to do and everything that needs done. Mm. And it's frightening because, you know, when you're in a situation that you've got to feed kids and clothe them and, you know, you need that money to be there. So, you and I, Mandy, were talking about adoption and you've got kind of exciting plans for the future about...
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just aware of, you know, the planet is grossly overpopulated as is, and there's so many beautiful, intelligent kids out there with so much potential. They just need somebody to take them in.
Yeah.
Definitely in the future, I would love to adopt, maybe even open my own foster home. The road to change has just broadened my horizons, changed my direction in life. I think when I get back home, I'm going to do a master's in video journalism.
Awesome.
Because this is basically what I'm doing on the road every time I film you and do interviews and document what's happening.
Well, that was going to be my next question. How do you think the road to change has changed you?
Well, I've decided that I would love to live somewhere in Europe. I thought I wanted to live in America, but the more I see of Europe, the more I'm falling in love with it. So I think maybe somewhere like Italy, and getting the master's in video journalism. I know now that that is what I want to do.
Awesome.
With my career, it's the kind of job where you never stop learning as you go, and get to travel a lot as well if you're successful, and meeting all the lovely people that work in child protection, and even the couch surfers. And the hosts, just all the people that you've met, and you experience a bit of their culture and who they are and what they do. You know, I was staying with a psychiatrist before I came here. Before that, I was staying with a girl who studied ideology and language.
Sweet. So you're...
It's blowing my mind. It's broadening my horizons. I'm learning every day's a school day. It's brilliant.
That's awesome. What about you, Stiglo? How's this experience changed you?
I would say I was quite... narrow-minded before, and I'm so open-minded now, and I see potential everywhere in everyone, and I can see another future for me now, and it's awesome.
Awesome.
I really love that. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I think the road to change has changed me quite a lot. I mean, I've lost about 2 stone. I don't even recognize myself when I look at those cuddly pictures of myself in London. I think so. I was about 13 stone when I started, and I'm below 11 stone at the moment. But I have ADD, so I'm really impatient naturally. Yeah. And the walk is kind of, I hope I'm learning patience. And we have some really ridiculous situations sometimes, and we just kind of have to breathe out and go, okay, let's keep going. So I think I'm getting a bit more chilled out. Would you agree with that, guys?
Yeah.
Not at all.
I'm amazed by how well you've coped. I would have cracked long before now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, sometimes people ask me, like, that question, are you ready to give up yet? And it's weird because that's never crossed my mind.
No, and I wouldn't allow you to give up either, so...
Yeah, but it's not even on this, you know, the palette of options. Giving up has never been in my mind. You know, every single day when I'm walking, the last mile that I walk every day, I visualise walking down the Royal Mile. I sometimes, if my iPod's actually working, I'll listen to the Mullican Tyre, which is a song that reminds me of being home with Tommy and Donnie, my mates. We used, every year would go to Arran and listen to that song one day. So I think we're putting into place, there's going to be a pipe band there. We want to make as much noise as possible. It's all about stopping the silence. So hopefully, if you guys are around February 7th next year in Edinburgh, be there. We'll be walking down the Royal Mile, and a pipe band will be playing Mullican Tyre. And I'll be howling, let's be honest. But, do you think, Mandy, but what's been the hardest experience for you or the worst part of your job?
Living in the van was difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, the first 6 or 7 weeks I was here, we were...
No, it was 2 weeks you were in the van from Warsaw to Prague.
Right, it felt like...
It was 2 weeks.
Three of us in this tiny little motorhome, there wasn't enough space, and it's always damp.
I know.
Why is the motorhome always wet?
Because it's designed for occasional use, and we're living in it. Like, we've really kicked the arse out of it, the poor thing. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, I know. She's old. She's worn. But yeah, that was quite difficult. It was cosy at points as well. You know, it was nice when we woke up in the middle of that hurricane and the van was rocking from side to side.
I know. I was blogging about that because I was blogging about that trip between Warsaw and Prague yesterday. And I was just remembering, like, it became like Apollo 13. Like, the three of us were out in the middle of nowhere in this tin box. And there's a kind of fourth member of the Road to Change crew, which is my brother Mojo. Mojo was the first driver, but he kind of works now as our... He's, like, ground control, you know. And he lives in Glasgow, so it's kind of like, Bella Houston, we have a problem. Because anything that goes wrong, we kind of... Mojo is the first point of contact for anything. Yeah. I mean... Mojo's like he's sewing my kilt when I got it caught in a road sign. There's very few practical aspects of this project that Mojo isn't involved in, and so as we travelled along through that, basically, bless him, he would get a phone call pretty much every day saying, Mojo, where's the local B&Q, because we need to get more expander foam to try and plug the holes. But that's well, what can we do, guys? If you're listening to this and you live in Europe and you have a motorhome which you wouldn't mind us destroying, could we borrow it? And we deeply appreciate it.
12 months, it's all right.
Yeah.
Not too much.
Well, I mean, like, so you guys understand that we did approach 200 UK motorhome dealerships, and I guess companies are scared to be involved in this issue. They're scared to have their logo next to the words child sexual abuse. But, you know, that's why we're doing it. We're trying to destigmatize the issue. Mm-hmm. Companies are not scared to have, you know, breast cancer or any of these other kind of health conditions. And the way I see it, there's, you know, for the victims, of course, there's no shame, or there shouldn't be. It's not their fault. You wouldn't say to someone living with breast cancer, could you be quiet, please, because your misery is making me uncomfortable. But why do we do that to survivors of child sexual abuse? So we're going to talk about it. Pam's coming. Dr. Pine in the house. Dr. Pamela Pine, she's the CEO and founder of Stop the Silence in Washington, D.C. And she is flying into Budapest, so she'll be here Monday. So you get to hear some of her chat next week on the podcast. And we asked some people on Facebook if they wanted to ask us any questions. And I feel like we're nicking Janie Godley's format here, but, you know, imitation is the highest form of flattery. We love Janie Godley and Ashley Story's podcast. Please check out the Janie Godley podcast. And we're just going to... Do you want to read these out, Stego?
Nat, good listener, Rosendale, how much further have you got to go before you finish?
How much further have I got to go? Well, it's 16,000 kilometres, and I've done 5,512. So yeah, just over 10,000
kilometres in 14 countries.
Six thousand miles, and I've got 19 countries. So there's like three middle points. There's the middle point in the time, because it'll take 20 months. So after 10 months, that's like halfway. And then there's the middle point in the project, because there's 32 cities. So we're past halfway in the project, because we're in city 17. And then there's the halfway point of the actual distance. So when I get to 5,000 miles, which I had no idea where that would be.
So 13 or 14 cities left? Must be 13 by now.
There's 32, we're on 17.
15
left. Yeah. Math's not a strong point. Any other questions?
Jenny McVarish, Matt, sitting here at work, just got inspired to say thank you and keep it up. You're doing something that really matters, and I admire you hugely.
Jenny McVarish. Jenny is, I think she's in Massachusetts in the United States. We're not related, but we might be. I think we're looking into that. So hello, Jenny, and thank you so much for supporting Road to Change. I really appreciate you following what we're up to.
John Smelker, Bastard is giving you a parking ticket. Not one, two.
Two. It wasn't a parking ticket, Stiggle. What was it?
It's a clamp.
Clampo McFine, that's his new name. So how many times did we get clamped this week, Stego?
Twice in 2 days.
Twice in 2 days. So poor Yvonne is trapped at the moment because they put a clamp on her and then they closed their office.
I don't even know why, but it can't, crazy.
No luck. John Smeltzer, so John's, I think you're in Alaska, John. Hello, and I worked with John after To Kill a Kelpie was shown in Ithaca in New York State. We met John, and we did a bit of work after that. So, hello, John. Nice to hear from you.
Granny Wendy, when you visit the countries and meet with the embassies, do you ever leave feeling disheartened or feeling that they were just being nice by listening to what you had to say, but you know deep down they were not going to take things any further?
Yeah, that happens. I mean, I remember when I visited the Ombudsman in Lithuania, and, you know, every single country that has a statute of limitations on reporting child sexual abuse, it needs to be abolished. They need to get rid of it because it's actually creating a situation where victims can't make reports, and that means the person who sexually abused them cannot be arrested and cannot be stopped. And this is happening across Europe. I've met so many people in that situation now. So in Lithuania, I remember the Ombudsman kind of listened to me, and the two people there genuinely seemed concerned, but I didn't get the sense that they were actually going to immediately jump on it and change it. So the kind of plan B that we have with the project is that we'll visit the European Parliament, and, you know, we'll try and get 1 million signatures, and we'll ask if the European Parliament created a blanket abolishment of this. Now, obviously, there's more consideration has to go into that, but that's the kind of plan B. So whilst we're in the countries, we ask for change, and if they don't do it, you know, we'll try another way.
Yeah, we're in the middle of creating a database at the minute. That's another part of what I do, is tracking and follow-up. So 6 months after you visited a country, we get back in touch and say, what's happening?
Aye, what are you staying?
What are you staying about it?
Come on. I was here 5 months ago. Why is no changed? No, like, because, yeah, the governments in Estonia, pretty much the Baltic states, I met all the ministries of justice and the ombudsman, and all of them said, we're going to take this into further discussion. We appreciate the reasons that you're explaining that it needs to be abolished. And I think, you know, we haven't seen yet the immediate change that happened in Bratislava last week. So, yeah, so what we do, Mandy Bobs and I, we'll get back in touch and keep nudging them. You know, that's all we can do.
Ali.
Oh, Ali. Hello, yeah, Ali. Nice. Thanks for listening, mate. Yeah. Miss you. Please come out and see us again. Ali was the driver from Copenhagen to Stockholm.
Yeah, the one before me.
Yeah.
Hi. What's been the funniest thing you've seen or heard on the road so far?
Let's open that to the floor. What's been the funniest thing that's happened on the road?
Last night was quite funny. Do you remember much of that, Stiggo?
Not really.
The vomit on the street that obviously went over the balcony. Can you explain that, Stiggo?
I've got some incriminating photos and videos of you staggering through the door.
No. Thing is, you need to realise we're in a country where a cosmopolitan costs 90p. So Stiggo,
I was happy our whole night.
Stiggo had an evening last night. I
was sipping cosmopolitans all night. That's not good.
But that's a hard question. What's the funniest thing that's ever happened?
I think when I sent you the text, I'm next to the prostitute.
That was that's not funny. That's just politically incorrect. I laugh a lot on this project, and I think we have to.
We do.
I think, God, that's so disappointing. I can't think of the funniest thing that's happened. We're talking about child sex.
We almost got a chihuahua.
Yeah. Was it a chihuahua? Yeah.
It was a chihuahua cross with a sausage dog.
Still a chihuahua. We can't have that.
No. Stiggo's got some sort of discrimination against chihuahuas.
Yeah.
But we couldn't take the kids in the foster home wanted us to take it, but it was too young.
I know, we almost left with a dog. You imagine? I was looking at doggy passports and everything.
I know, we could have had it. It's a perfect to have a chihuahua if your house is Yvonne. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was appropriately sized.
Yeah.
She ran a bit daft in there. It would have been perfect.
A road dog, you know?
Can I have a chihuahua?
I did make the fair point. She would have got stood on.
Yeah.
Clamp will make fine.
So what's been the most eye-opening thing you've seen on the road?
What's been the most eye-opening thing I've seen on the road? It depends on what you mean by that. I mean, I see things all the time and I go, oh my God. And it's cultural shock, but it's, you know, it just makes me aware of how British I am sometimes. Like, I remember in Belgium, I was walking down the road and there was a car went past with the window down and a toddler of about 2 or 3 years old standing on the passenger seat with its head out the window. And I was just like, you know, I know I'm walking for child protection, but surely, what's going on there? But the most eye-opening thing I've seen, I remember in Copenhagen, I was walking down the street and there was an elephant in front of me. That was a bit weird. And It just happened to be the...
Are you sure?
Yeah, I swear to God, it was just... the campsite was in the middle of the city and we were next to a circus, but I hadn't noticed that yet until an elephant walked past. And right. I was like, where am I? How far have I walked? But, yeah, there's some things that happen that open your eyes.
Yeah, I would say the whole experience for me is a big eye-opener, so...
Yeah, and anyone witnessing Stig throwing up over the balcony last night, that would have opened their eyes. Hope you guys are having a romantic dinner. Ali's saying that because he wrote these questions on Valentine's Day, bless him. Ali says, I'll never forget the romantic candlelit dinner in South Park Sessions, looking over the Swedish beautiful picturesque countryside I had with Matty out on the road. Yeah, it was a cracking thing with Ali. Ali originally he raised some money and he was going to come out and walk with me for a week, but then Amanda hadn't passed the driving test yet and we needed a driver, so Ali just ended up being the follow driver of Yvonne from Copenhagen to Stockholm, and those were good times, Ali, so I really want you to come back out and visit us. And what else, we got more questions?
Shane Cropper, where do you find the strength to keep going and keep so strong?
Where do I find the strength to keep going? I think I get emails now from people in different countries who have read about Road to Change, and the emails tell me how the walk has inspired them to break their silence. You know, so some people for the first time have spoken to their families or therapists, or and a couple of them have spoken to the police. So just by walking so far, we've actually instigated some criminal investigations. And it's not a witch hunt. It's not like I'm walking around trying to catch paedophiles or child sex offenders. I'm walking to try and encourage, you know, people to change their perception of this issue. And so when I see evidence of that happening, then, you know, especially when we meet the kids, we meet actual kids, and you just realise that, you know, in our own small way, we are actually making a difference. We can see that.
We are, yeah.
And the fact that, you know, I understand from my own experience and from my own family, I understand the kind of misery and devastation this issue can create in your family, and to know that in some small way we're making that a little bit different for some people, that then you just got to keep going.
Yeah. And the last one, Michael Delaney, you've inspired me to start walking to shed the excess lard, like the trouser, by the way. You'll have a body like Adonis after you finish.
Thank you, Michael. Yeah, we inspired you to start walking, that's awesome. Michael is a friend in London. I think he works at the Foreign Office, and I really appreciate your support, Michael. Thanks for keeping on it. So we've chatted too long, so we're gonna shut up. But thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to donate to help the project continue, you can go to roadtochange.eu. There's a big shameless donate button. And just to say, the project Road to Change is organised and supported by Stop the Silence, Stop Child Sexual Abuse, in partnership with the Moira Anderson Foundation in Scotland. There's loads of links on the website, and thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks.
Cheerio.
See you next week.